you're good. I mean, cool stuff. I must say, we have amazing worship leaders. Anyone who wants Stefan's number? 082-34. Stefan is very awesome. So beautiful. So, I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them, I've been waiting this whole week to sit next to you. See, some of the guys were like, this is obvious, I wish I should sit next to a girl. Even next time you strategize something here. So, just before I start, just something quickly, it's probably something that my wife, my lovely wife Benedict, there she is, has been probably praying from the sense of this meeting, even now, is the English thing. So, if you know me very well, you would know that the English doesn't always come so, and my wife is laughing at me because she knows, the English doesn't always flow very naturally for me. So, if you hear there's a word coming through, and it doesn't sound English, it's probably not. Just tell yourself, Ethan can do this. You can even pray for me. I put aside my whole community team, but every time I say a joke, that they would laugh at me. So if you hear someone laughing with a joke, doesn't make sense. You know it's there. Cool stuff. So, is it too loud? Is it perfect? Okay, cool stuff. So my testimony kind of started when I was in grade 11 in Paul. I'm not going to say the school's name because there are some Paul Lewis guys here checking it out. I'm not going to make eye contact. My life in grade 11 was really very simple. I enjoyed life. I loved doing all sorts of things, drinking, smoking, and truly my life has really been insecure, and I've been searching and find security in the world and in friends. And I think to give a bit of context, if you were in school and you saw those happy guys that think that they own the world and they're going to get all the ladies in the school, that was my group there. All the slaughter, and then you get me, Ethan, yeah. And usually when someone would irritate me, I would go to them and tell them, listen, this guy is irritating me, let's go sort him out. And then I would stay their hand, and they would go, and I was like a voice, here we go. And I remember how a really, really broken life and really messy, how this nerd continuously invited me to do this youth group. And some of us know that nerd because it's actually in our church, in Josh Lynn actually, which is amazing. And eventually I decided, after a lot of brokenness and just trying to find the next big thing, maybe at the youth I would find a girl, you never know. It was quite a good place where some relationships came out of. And I remember that night walking to the youth, and most people in the youth were actually in our school. And I remember all of a sudden, as I was walking towards this youth group that was meeting on Wednesday, they just smiled at me. And it was really weird. People smiled at me. They were like, it looked as if my dog has been waiting for me at my home. And finally I arrived, and all of a sudden I'm here. And it really felt like that. And people were super friendly. There was just something different about them. And I think for some of us, we've experienced this in Josh Gym, and I think it's something also here. That there's just an aliveness in the youth and an aliveness in the church. And I really think if I look back today, it's definitely Jesus, it's definitely the Lord that makes people alive like that. But I remember for me, coming out of a very traditional background, the first thing I thought is I need to get out of this place very soon. I remember just checking out these people, they asking me weird questions like, how are you doing? How are you really doing? How's your heart doing? You know, those type of other questions. And I remember just giving it a chance and just walking into the youth, and I remember we were worshiping and people were crazy. People jumped up and down. Some people looked at the wall and started speaking to the wall, like Jewish people looked like as if they were talking to the wall, and some people were rolling around with the crown, and I really didn't know really what's going on, but it was crazy. And also the first thing in my mind was like, just so, this place is crazy, this is weird, I should get out of this place, but let's just give it a chance. And I remember sitting down and the youth pastor started preaching and he started speaking about this deal that God wants to make with us. And he shared the gospel, he shared about how Jesus died on the cross for us and for our sins and for a relationship. But he spoke about this specific deal that God wants to make with us. And Martin Luther calls this deal the Great Exchange. And it's the best exchange that you can ever make. It's the best deal that you can ever make with the Lord. And this deal basically says, I don't know who knows the T accounting in accounting classes, but on the one hand you have the debit side and the other hand you have the credit side. And he basically explains it like this, that those who are, and I need you, should help me if I'm wrong, but on the debit side is all the good things and on the credit is all the bad things. No, okay, that's good. So on the credit side, all your sins and all your suffering and everything in your life, all your insecurities, God comes and says that I'm going to exchange all those things for my freedom and my righteousness. And he explained righteousness, and he said, like, righteousness is actually standing before God, and he sees you in the right relationship. He sees you as right before God. You are in a good relationship because of Jesus. And I thought, this deal sounds amazing. It feels like I have nothing to lose. And then he continued, and he started sharing about when we make this deal, God doesn't just forgive us for our sins. He actually wants a relationship with us. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, do you want to tell me that the God of the universe, the King of Kings, wants to actually have a relationship with me, actually wants to speak to me? And I thought, yes, sir, this sounds really amazing. I've never experienced in my life. I heard some people preach the gospel, but I've never seen this thing like this. And I remember just as the preach ended and as he asked everyone's eyes to be closed, I remember how he just closed the eyes and he said, basically, anyone who wants to give their life to Jesus should come forward and should just stand in front, and then we can pray for you and everything. It's the whole process of giving your life to Jesus. And I still didn't know really what I was doing, but I remember one thing, and that was that the people around me was different. There was something going on in the people around me that was alive and was different, and I wanted it. And I think it's very similar here. I think for someone that comes very new here and come and visit us, there's something going on that we carry about Jesus that's just different than the world. And I think sometimes we forget that as Christians, how attractive that joy and that love and that aliveness is to other people. And it's because it's a light shining through us. And I remember that night crying. I really cried. I've never cried that much. And that night the Lord has just started. I just experienced this joy and this peace in my life that I've never experienced ever before. And that night I was just in my room and just weeping and asking God, Lord, what is this? Have I been missing out about this thing all my life? And for the first time I experienced the Lord's sweetness and His love and His goodness. And I remember going back to school, probably lost all my friends, because they thought there's something weird is happening to Keaton. There's something really weird. He's different. And I remember just in my journey with the Lord, it started really experiencing Him and growing in Him and learning how to worship Him. And I remember there was this guy called George, and I'll tell you now why you should remember that name. And I remember how he was in our registered class, and he always made fun of me. And I remember in off periods, I couldn't wait to get to my Bible and just read the Bible for the first time. It opened up my eyes, and I was like, is this what the Bible is all about? I've been reading it all my life, but now I seem so alive. And I remember always him throwing stuff in the class at me and really making fun of me. And I remember how the Lord, one day after school, laid on my heart to start praying for him. I told the Lord, how on earth am I going to pray for a guy that's completely angry towards me and really like stupid in the class towards me. And how do you expect me to actually pray for this guy? And I remember as I was starting to pray, as the Lord actually gently started helping me to pray for him, I started to act a love for him. And I started, almost started wanting to actually love him more. And I didn't see that coming at all. And I remember it wasn't even a month. We had a church service that night. And Chad's girlfriend invited him to the church. And she didn't even know the Lord. And Chad also came to the church. And I don't know if you ever, I think some of us, if you ever invite someone to the church for the first time, all that you want to desire in their heart is that they would meet Jesus. It's like this chocolate that you found on an island, and you just want everyone to experience this chocolate. And that night I remember, I just want you to experience the love of Jesus. I just want, because I've been praying for this guy for a month, and all of a sudden I'm doing a miracle. His girlfriend that invited him, that doesn't even know the Lord, invited him. It's definitely not a coincidence. And I remember he said, Lord, you should come into his life. You should just show yourself to him, even if you need to appear audibly before him. That lady that does the ribbon dancing usually on the stage, please don't let him hurt her. Don't hit him, please. I've experienced it before. It's hectic when that lint gets you on the face. It's not nice. You're in the presence of the Lord. All of a sudden you think it's the Lord, but it's not. And I remember that night how George gave his life to the Lord and he responded to the gospel and he just completely surrounded with the Lord's love. And I remember he always says that he cried so much that he could literally wash his body with all the tears on his t-shirt. But he really experienced the Lord's love for the first time. And from that place, there was a bit of awkwardness in our relationship because we were in the same class, and there was this kind of thing, oh, so you know the Lord as well, you know. And I remember we just started speaking, a bit shy, but we started speaking, and we just started sharing about how we want to run for Jesus and how we want to run for Him flat out in the school. And I remember, I don't know if you guys had that fiercest fear period in your school. Yeah, that was basically a Christian society group, and every week you can give like a lesson. And in that time in our school, you can actually, every class was forced to go into the fiercest fear classes. So no one was allowed to go anywhere else. I know these days you actually have a choice to join those meetings or not. But I remember the guy from one church gave us some notes about what we should say, and we don't have to worry, we can just read the notes up from the paper and share in the class. And I remember that time I was grade 11 and I had a matric group, and which was very intimidating for me. And I remember looking at that notes, I thought, none of these things, I've never been in one of these things, and nothing of these things are actually applicable to me. So I might as well just share what Jesus has done in my life. And I promise you guys that in those precious few periods, as John and I was started to share just what Jesus has done in our lives and just what he's been changing in our lives, people's lives started to change. And I can pinpoint literally names, certain people that I know of now, that's lives were just completely changed in those classrooms because of what Jesus did in their lives. I remember of the school, John went back to the farm where he used to come from, where he's farming in Corpus Whip, and there was 62 Malawi people on the farm, and they even started a church of the school in from where he comes on the farm. So there's a big church going on where John comes from. And at the end of grade 11, just fast forward a bit back, something happened to me that I didn't expect. I was a very sporty guy and really wanted to become a swimmer. I wanted to become a rugby player, but I don't know if that was possible for me. I don't have the course that Rudolf has, unfortunately. But I remember just really trusting the Lord that I would that I would achieve something in my life one day, a good career. And I remember how that one morning I started feeling sick, and I started feeling nauseous, and the next thing that I knew, I was actually ending up in the hospital, and I got very bad news that both of my kidneys completely failed. Like, both of them, I had to, for the rest of my life, I had to be dependent on a machine that I would, that would filter my blood, and I would be connected to the machine. It's very similar to chemo, but just a bit different in terms of it's working with blood, and it's not actually with like a medicine for cancer. But it was really tiring. And every second week, 4 hours, I would go on that machine, and it was really a suffering time. But I remember after a lot of people asking to donate their kidneys to me, and things just didn't work out. Some people committed, and then they couldn't do it anymore. And after 3 years of being on dialysis, Chad called me this one morning and said, "Listen, Keaton, I really feel on my heart that I should give my kidney to you." And I was like, "No, man, you're joking. I don't think that's true. You're really joking to me." And I remember how so serious it was. He really experienced the Lord and said, "I want to give my kidney to me." And I don't know if you guys know, but if you want to donate your kidney to someone, or give your kidney to someone, it takes about a year's test that you go through, and every test needs to match. Each one of them. And if they don't, that kidney can't be transplanted and can't be given to you. And I remember test after test, it just matched. And I think about 3 years ago, John and I both went in the hospital, and he gave his kidney to me, and I'm the transplant was very successful. Everything was perfect. And today I'm actually standing before you guys, so literally almost facing death in a dialysis where there was possible close times where I could have died, because most people on dialysis die in a year. Also, some people are lucky to live a bit longer, but it's usually a thing if you're on dialysis, you really hope for every turn that you will live. And the Lord just completely healed me by giving a kidney to me. And it's so beautiful how there's one thing in common that when we are Christians coming together and we surrender our lives to Jesus, that is that we don't just love the Lord and experience the Lord, but we receive a love for one another that's not possible in the world, that the world cannot offer us. And it's only Jesus that can offer that to us. So, this from me. Last week on, we started with a series that focused on one scripture. You can just put that Revelation scripture on, which says that they overcame because of the Lamb's blood and because of the word of their testimony. They didn't love the Lamb even to death. So God shared last week about how the enemy comes and he wants to accuse us, where he actually wants to kind of put a question mark on where it comes on, and they overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And today I just want to focus a bit more on the word of their testimony. And I think maybe you haven't gone through all those things in your life before you gave your heart to Jesus, or maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus. But I think looking back at my life, and even if you think for yourself all those things, I think the only important thing would ever be that the true testimony and the ultimate testimony isn't really about all those things happening. Yes, it was suffering. Yes, there was a lot of things happening in my life, and I went through a lot of suffering. But I think also some of us haven't been going through the things, and we went through a normal life and went through not that much struggles or different struggles, and then we came to Jesus. And I want to say for us that even if you feel you don't have a testimony, that the greatest testimony that you will ever have in your life is that Jesus came for you and he died for you on the cross, and you were dead in your trespasses and your sins, and he made you alive. He completely changed your life. And I think that's the greatest testimony that Jesus has ever given us. That we were supposed to be in hell at the moment. We deserve it, actually. But Jesus said, no, I don't want my people to have that life. I want them back in a relationship with me. And I think for some of us, maybe you haven't heard that thing ever. Maybe you haven't heard that Jesus actually loves you and actually wants a relationship with you. And I think the beautiful thing is that Jesus is in the midst of us here. And he wants the relationship with us. And he knows what's going to happen if we don't have a relationship with him. And he wants to completely change our life. I think maybe, maybe I'm broken down that it's not important what you've been saved out of. It's not important what went in the past. But it's important what you've been saved into. That's the most important thing. Forget about the history. It's about the present time. It's about what's happening now in your life. Is Jesus the true testimony in your life or not? And I want to put up 1 John 5, verse 11. Where John says that the testimony is this, that God gave to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. That's the greatest testimony, guys. Is that Jesus came on the earth and he gave us the true testimony. And the testimony where he comes in our lives and he changes everything in our lives. And I think that's the ultimate testimony. And I think this week we've been, not even this week, this past month, we've been seeing people sharing testimonies like Laura, Miguel, Lilo, and even a lot of us here actually has amazing testimonies of how the Lord has changed completely our life, transformed our life. And it's beautiful to see how the Lord is really doing these amazing things in our lives. And He's constantly wanting to change our lives daily. And I think the beautiful thing that we have in the church today is the ultimate testimony of Jesus changing lives. And I think just a story that I want to share about when I was grade 10, there was this friend of mine, Ruan. Not Ruan in our church, but Ruan was a short, very tall guy, had lack of meat on him there that time. And I remember how, I don't know about you guys, but schools are very, they're quite big guys, you know? And I remember Ruan was always known in the rugby, and when we went out to parties or whatever, Ruan was known as the guy that would lose his temper, and he would always be in the fight. Every week at school, you could hear Ruan was in a fight. There was just something happening, one guy irritated him, and there was a fight. I remember in rugby games, the guys already knew Ruan, and even rugby practices, that some of them irritated him, and Ruan would lose it, and he would just hit someone, or something would happen. And I remember one night, how Ruan came to the youth, and he experienced Jesus for the first time, and I promise you guys, after that day, Ruan was completely different. In the rugby game, the guys saw that they irritated him, they just kept on. And I asked Ruan after the game, like, Ruan, what happened to you? You didn't even touch it. He said, Gita, I can't. Jesus has changed my life. I love these guys more than I ever hated them. And how amazing is it that when Jesus changes our lives, he wants to change it completely. And there's something different that happens in our lives. And I actually asked Tyler if I can share this, but one day, myself and Tyler, we spoke, and he said to me all of a sudden, just out of the blue, Keaton, I don't know why I'm saying this. I don't know why I'm experiencing this, but I really can't wait to die. I really can't wait to die. I just want to be with Jesus for the rest of my life. I want to be in his presence. I want to be with him now. And maybe some of us, that's a bit extreme now at the moment, but it's so beautiful that when Jesus truly comes in our lives, When he's truly the testimony in our lives, we have something to carry, and we have something that we can run with. And I think something that actually Christian spoke about when he spoke about Moses was so applicable. And those who know the story of Moses was known as going up the mountain a lot of times. And I remember somewhere reading in the Old Testament where Moses used to go up in the mountain, and he would come down from the mountain, and the people of Israel as he came down, his people started telling him, "Moses, your face is shining. There's something different about you." And I think for us tonight, and not just for you, even for myself, is that I don't believe God's heart for us is that we should be the people of Israel down the mountain, just living the normal life. We're following God. But He wants to meet with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants our faces to shine. He wants us to carry the true testimony of Jesus. That's the ultimate testimony. And I think the second thing that I want to share, I think the second thing is that we need to realize and we need to admit that there is a lie. And He's known as the Father of all lies. And if we look at, even as we speak in Revelation 12, if you look at Revelation 12 and 13, you see this constant battle about the darkness of light, of the kingdom of light, and the kingdom of darkness. This constant battle. And you even see how churches are starting to rise up, and some of them look like churches, but they're not really churches. It says that there was a lamb, but it wasn't a lamb, but it was actually a dragon. It was actually not something that looked like Jesus. And I think that the enemy's biggest aim for us in the church today, and Revelation is not what happened, it's not what's to come. It's happening now in our lives. It's now the end times. And I think the one thing that the enemy wants to do and he wants to steal in our lives is that he knows that if he can demolish and take away anything that represents Jesus and His followers, He knows He has something. And He does it with lies, like Bella said last week, those lies that the enemy accuses us. He knows, if He can put that question mark in our lives, He knows He has a little grip on our lives. And I think the church of Jesus, and the church that the Lord wants us to build on, and it says in Revelation 12 and 13, would be those who carry the true testimony of Jesus. Those who won't follow a church or go into a church or follow a group of believers of the signs, wonders, and miracles. And those are good things that need to happen in the church. Or maybe in our time now, maybe a nice worship leader or a nice preacher. My love says I'm beautiful. I hope that's part of it. And I don't hope that's why we get told me to speak tonight or God speak to me in mistakes. Maybe still one. But I think that the church that Jesus wants to build on is the church that would carry the revelation of Jesus, the true testimony of Jesus. And I think even if we look at the life of Job, there's a part in Job where God says to the accuser, to Satan, He says to him, "Have you seen my servant Job?" And the accuser says, "No, he's just following you because you're blessing him. He's just following you because you're doing good things to him and you're providing for him." And God actually allows it. He allows the accuser to take things away from his life. And we see at the end of Job's life, he loses everything. But the most beautiful part in Job, in the end, it says, while he was sitting on a rubbish, I don't know, they call it like a bunch of rubbish, like where the bus went back and all that stuff. All that stuff. And he was sitting on it. And he said, "Though the Lord is saying, I hope in you." And isn't that the beautiful thing? And I think for us as a church and for every one of us, is that the Lord wants His God to tell us that, "Have you seen my servant younger? Have you seen my servant Martin? Have you seen my servant Michelle? Have you seen him?" And yes, He is going to allow things to happen. He is going to allow the accuser to put lies to us. But the true ones that would follow Jesus are those who carry the testimony of who He truly is. And I actually want to go to my last point. And that is that your testimony is not your own. I remember that when I was back in the days in church in Paul, the church that I was speaking about, there was this guy called Wombat. Always called him Wombat, and he was very close to his 90s. And I remember always in worship time, he was a very tall guy. He was taught in school, very tall guy, from all the way from Lampo. You know, the Lampo guys, they're quite tall and thin. And I remember that was there a guy that really was the person coming in front, sharing the prophetic words and sharing where the direction of the Lord was and everything. But Umbat was really passionate for the Lord. He was so passionate. I remember when we were in worship times in church, Umbat would worship the Lord, but his knees couldn't handle it. And they always had to stand a guy behind him to catch him in the middle of worship as Umbat falls, because he just wants to worship the Lord. That's so beautiful. I remember there was one, I was the one behind him. Because all the other guys were on holiday, and you can just imagine Peter standing here behind your back. It didn't work. I had to get the other guys standing there. But I remember this one time, out of the blue, it wasn't the Sunday that you would expect people would rejoice in. It wasn't really a Sunday when it actually felt like the church was a bit dull at the moment. And your dad came forward to the stage, and he asked that he could share something with you, and it really never happens. And your dad says that, "I see people that have bread behind their backs and they're not sharing it to the people around them." And the Lord is clearly highlighting that people in this church need to share the gospel because people need to hear it. There's people in the church that needs to share the gospel, share the testimony of Jesus. And it's interesting, I spoke to Lena the other day, but Paul, in most of his letters, he actually preached his testimony. That was the testimony of what Jesus did in his life. And I think, I would say all of us carry something beautiful. Not just your whole history about your life, but the testimony of what Jesus did in your life. That you were dead in your trespasses, and he came and he made you alive. You are a living testimony. And maybe just to throw a scripture out there, just to relate with it, in Matthew 16, verse 16, Jesus is spending time with these disciples, and he asks them, "Who do people say I am?" And as we read here, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God." Now people started throwing a lot of things, "You're a prophet, you're Jeremiah," whatever, a few things. But then Simon Peter answered, and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God." Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my assembly," or "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades would not prevail against it." And the other translation says, "And the gates of hell will not go against it, will not prevail against it." And I think if we look at that scripture, Jesus is clearly telling us that the one thing that rock refers to is that revelation of Jesus and that revelation of who he truly is. And that is the thing that he would build his church on. Not in worship music, not in prophetic words or in prayer meetings. Yes, we need those things. But Jesus is building his church on one thing, and that's the fact that he is the Son of the Living God, and that we are actually carrying that testimony of who he is. And I think most of us need to actually just sit and think with this thing, and actually just realize that you, in your life, if you've given your heart to Jesus, you carry something beautiful. And I think just imagine if we start to realize the beauty of the testimony of Jesus in our lives and what he's done in our lives, and we can start sharing it to the people around us. Just think what would happen to the church. I think the newspapers would go worse if people started to do that. If at least just 10 of us just say, "You know what? I'm not going to be ashamed of what Jesus did in my life. The testimony of Jesus, I want to be a true carrier of Jesus, of his testimony." And I'm not going to be ashamed of sharing with the rest of the people around me, because I know it's like finding a treasure in a field. And you can't hide it. You need to share it to other people. It's a treasure. It's beautiful. I think that's about